Blog Talk Radio.
Cheap. They are embroidered, not an ink job. You won't even get a mini Reaper patch as a bonus. It would be great for framing or even a Halloween costume. I put a picture of this vest on here to see how it looks, but this is just for the patches only. This is my last set, and I won't be getting any more, so hurry before it's done, probably because he got the shit beat out of him for selling something he's not supposed to sell. I mean, you gotta be a real dumb shit. Throw this on the back of your jacket. You walk into the wrong place, you're going to get killed. That was sent to me by Art today, the email. So I guess Art's caption was, what do you say here? Yes, you too can be a badass pass holder. How about $180 butt whooping? But it's on Craigslist, it's a true thing. There's a guy selling this shit. I know the economy's tough, but it's not that tough to go in and put some on your back so you get ass whooped for nothing. But the other thing I wanted to talk about is the loud pipe deal we had here in California. This was written by a guy named Abe Sauer. Or Sauer, Sauer. And he posted it today at 5:15. But it said, loud pipes save lives, but who will save loud pipes? Update AMA response. So basically what it's talking about, this article right here, it's talking about last week Governor Schwarzenegger signed a number of bills. One in the spotlight was the SB 1449, which decriminalized marijuana possession. But he also, well, that was a good thing, but he also signed SB 435, for more controversial bill empowering police to cite motorcyclists for noise pollution. You know, it's kind of hard to tell you your pipes are loud when they don't carry a meter. That's the way they're supposed to do it. They're supposed to, if they use that as probable cause to pull you over under this law, they can't do that. Well, if they do it, there's your first excuse when you get to court. Not an excuse, but a way to defend yourself. And then the other thing we got going on is they say you got to require a motorcycle to display its stock or aftermarket exhaust. finding compliance with federal laws that have been in place, if unenforced for a quarter century, or yet unenforced for a quarter century. Simple legislation has recently been passed or is pending in other states, including Oregon, Maine, individual communities from Denver to Green Bay. So basically, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. The AMA was opposed to SB 435. They did dispute its strong opposition to excessive motorcycle sound. In 1925, the Berkeley Gazette called out the demonical motorcycle on account of its noise. 3 years later, the Pittsburgh Gazette joined in, declared only the explosive. So Berkeley, California, all the way into Pittsburgh, so halfway across the United States, the explosions of a motorcycle exhaust are bound to irritate. By the 60s, we went back up to Spokane, Washington, where their headline read, "Noisy mufflers prompt the promise of crackdown." That crackdown wouldn't come until the early 1980s when the EPA issued new standards limiting the motorcycle exhaust noise, but it was too late. By then, loud pipes were more than a collateral of combustion engineering. They were the soundtrack for a culture war. So it's going to get crazy here because they can't pull you over for that, but they're going to use anything they can, and then that's a secondary ticket, which it is a fix-it ticket, but the fine's $100 if you can't produce a sticker on your bike. We got a lady out of Canada. Her name is Renee Beltry Betty Charbonneau. She's the editor of a magazine called The Busted Knuckle Chronicles. She explained that loud pipes save lives to me. This is her quote. Riders found that when a vehicle tried to violate their lane, right of way, their horn was ineffective, and then a quick rap on the pipes alerted the driver they were about to drift into someone. This is a defense that works in urban traffic situations. We have two or more lanes, an unattended person on their cell phone talking to someone else in the vehicle, and a driver is generally not paying attention to where they are going. Anybody that knows me knows I carry a one-pound ball-peen hammer on top of my saddlebag. No, I don't have to tell you what it's for. But when they, the automobile driver, are right beside you and do not turn their head before moving over, this is the prime time in urban riding when loud pipes save lives. What I'm reading here is just a bunch of different articles from people with their opinions. But we have another writer. Her name is Carrie R. She said, "I absolutely believe that loud pipes save lives for a couple of different factors. One, the obvious. If you are heard, you are more likely to be seen. But we all know who Vinny Barum is, that at 2 o'clock in the morning he decides he wants to get on his bike after a couple of beers and let everybody know he's got straight pipes. Number two, the most bikers or bike organizations do many, many bike runs in raise money for things like the American Cancer Society, March of Dimes. Bill and I are going to be doing one pretty soon here for battered wives or women in domestic violence. It's also, in the end, can also save lives. Her interpretation is credible. At a recent ride in Tomahawk, Wisconsin, raised much-needed money for muscular dystrophy causes. But, you know, it's... Another guy here says that an aftermarket horn could be a better replacement for loud pipes, sending the noise forward towards the danger instead of backward away from it. Ironically, stock horns are no louder than stock pipes. I think that there are a lot of us looking to go with air horns and trying to find something that will fit our machines," said Beltrad. Well, there's a place in Wisconsin called Rivco. They sell 148 decibel air horns. That's right, I said 148 decibel air horns. I'm going to see if I can get the first caller in. Hello, caller, are you there?
You talking to me?
Yeah, you're the caller.
Well, I don't know. I can't tell. Evening, Phil.
What's going on?
Oh, you're nothing.
Right.
Hello?
You're right. Yeah, you heard what I said,
I was
said,
just
right?
listening to your... stories there. I have several myself about revving the pipe, saving my butt. I actually have a friend who is in law enforcement, and that's his thing. Every time someone goes to cut him off, he revs his pipes. And it's quite effective.
Are you playing with your squeak toy?
No, that's the dog.
True story.
No, he's sitting with me on the couch and playing with his chew toy.
Oh, and then another one of these we have. These are stories I got off of this website called AWL.
Mm-hmm.
And I know who Belt Drive Betty is. I talked to her Wednesday on Chuck's show.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one. There's another story here from a registered nurse and a health crisis worker.
Safety okay, I can imagine what she has to say.
Here we go. Safety is a tangible, incredible position from which to defend loud pipes, to be sure. And yes, I stand by that fully. Well, that's a switch. He doesn't buy the horn baloney. But he says, let's say I'm considering a purchase, he tells me. I'm not likely to say, you know, take that one with the muted exhaust and that awesome horn.
I think what happens is people are oblivious to horns. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know about anybody else's horn unless, you know, they got that supercharged air horn. But my horn on my Harley is, first of all, it's finicky. Half the time it doesn't toot or whatever, blow the at its best. It sounds like it's muffled or something, and if it gets wet, forget about it. You can't hear it at all.
Right. And then this guy goes back on to say, you know, if you never sat on 1,200 cc's and were bolted to a steel frame, felt it vibrate beneath you, well, that's like me. You know, I enjoy the sound of a roaring V-twin underneath my testicles, but that's just me.
Well, I enjoy it under my butt cheeks as well.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes on to say here, if you've never, let's see, felt it vibrate beneath you, passively idling, growling, rhythmically, latent power waiting to be unleashed with a quick twist of the throttle and an explosion of combustion and precise engineering. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it actually does.
Felt the power beneath you as the bike moves off, the freedom, the noise, that noise. It's a visceral part of the experience. You should try it if you have it. It's an incredibly liberating thing. That's true.
That it is.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, going into this other one, there's about 6 or 7 articles here. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to skim through for the stuff. Here's a guy that says, one overlap is where the loud pipes apostles do their cause two favors by diluting their safety argument with one about freedom. Laws against loud motorcycle exhaust is simply the justification for stopping bikers from enjoying too much freedom. I can agree with that one.
Yeah.
After sanely and reasonably defending the safety position of loud pipes movement, here we go to Canada again. It's Bell Drive Betty tells me, the political issues surrounding discrimination of any type are something every voting human being should be aware of. Here we go, the politically correct stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
Ask any person, a Native American Indian, every refugee, female, gay person, discrimination is very political in nature and requires a certain amount of empathy to understand the cost. When you allow for one form of discrimination, you open the door for other rights and freedoms becoming eroded. Take the fringe of the reason. One open equates loud pipes laws with charging all men with rape because they have the right equipment.
What? Boy, is that
yep.
a stretch.
Exactly. Taken to the fringe of reason, one op-ed equates loud pipes laws with charging all men with rape because they have the right equipment.
Well, you know, if you can sell that point of view, good luck. That is a stretch, though. But, you know, she's right with this politically correct stuff and the discrimination. And unfortunately, you know, and I keep saying it all the time, if we don't stand up for our rights and fight, we're going to lose them.
Absolutely. We got Jerry Smith. He's the motorcycle writer and editor of Cycle Guide magazine. Told this reporter, come on. Our common sense argues against the hypothesis that a low-load motorcycle is a conspicuous motorcycle. Ask anyone who drives a fire truck, an ambulance, or a police car off in traffic up ahead fails to yield, even with an ear-piercing siren shrieking at them from behind. Unlike the siren on an emergency vehicle, which directs sound forward, the exhaust system on a motorcycle directs the sound to the rear, where a car ahead of you is even less likely to hear it. He goes on to point out that all the niggling ironies accompanying the loud pipe safety arguments made by riders who never wear helmets, never taken a safety class, and wear dark colors on a dark bike.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Then we get into your favorite people here. This guy's name is Andy Ford. He's a leading advocate member of a coalition against noise pollution called Noise Off.
Yeah. Know them well.
Yeah, he's a character, that guy.
They're all
doesn't
characters. They're all on their thrones there with that mightier-than-thou attitude and, you know, how dare we pollute their environment. And what kills me is that motorcycles make, like, a speck of the noise of traffic, industry, everything, and yet we're the ones, and our numbers are a lot fewer than motorists, truckers, et cetera, and yet they pick on us.
Exactly. He goes into that here. Two sentences down. His vision of the future may inspire unexpected alliances with communities who feel persecuted by those who know best. Smokers, pregnant women, raw milk aficionados, gangster pansatorialists, aluminum bat users, urban rooster farmers, tanners.
Wait a minute. Aluminum bat users?
Yeah.
Oh, my. What is this guy smoking?
I don't know, but it's probably better stuff than I got.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. And tanners. In the city of Grand Forks, North Dakota, sent me a warning threatening a $150 fine because my grass was unkept. Of course.
Oh, yeah, so get up with your lawnmower at 5 o'clock in the morning and mow it and wake everybody up and then see what kind of ticket you get.
Right, especially if you live in a homeowners association. But the older riders he spoke with remembered hearing too long ago to place, but through the 90s, the Made for Bumper Stickers model gained in popularity, as did the mindset it represented it. We're talking about the one that says loud pipes save
lives. Loud pipes save lives.
Thanks to a shift in motorcycle demographics, the sense of loud pipes had to the point in about freedom and liberty. It's now come about safety and social responsibility. And the practice of riding with loud, modified exhaust, previously popular primarily only with those who might characterize as bikers, suddenly become an acceptable behavior for weekend warriors, the fastest-growing demographic of bikers.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Just to get into the, between that, you know, okay, we're going to go into the economy a little bit. Between 95 and 2005, motorcycles in the United States nearly quadrupled, peaking in a value over $14 billion. Crashing alongside everything else, sales in 2009 were about half of 2005's 1.1 million.
Well, look at the economy.
Yeah. The average age of a Harley rider went from 42 to 49. 42 in 2004 and 49 in 2009. The weekend
warriors.
Well,
we're all getting a little older, you know.
Yeah. The weekend warriors wanted to ride loud, but as rapidly aging cul-de-sac living Monday through Friday clock punchers, they had a hard time buying the classic if it's too loud, you're too old, aggressive, libertarian justification for doing so. Loud pipes save lives fit perfectly. As Jimmy told the reporter, freedom is a fuzzy area from which to debate loud pipes, safety is not. This new demographic, flush with its ready for slaughter wallets fattened on third home mortgages, also perfectly fit the industry's aims because it turns out loud pipes save even more lives with its bottom line. So, yeah.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
No.
You know, like, loud pipes will save more lives than any helmet will.
Yeah, this guy skirts in all aspects of this. He's bringing everything in. With the millions more on motorcycles on the road, the motorcycle aftermarket trade bulked up. Just as the middle class decided a bathroom just wasn't a bathroom without marble and kitchen, without granite, was unlivable. Riders found stock bikes and the EPA muted exhaust unacceptable. Harley Davidson sold its shirts reading, "Make some noise." But eventually, average Americans rebelled. More bikes on the road with louder exhaust meant more infants woken at midnight and more neighborhood windows rattling. The industry figured it out. Outrage is bad for long-term business. Industry organizations and manufacturers like Harley Davidson began PR campaigns against what they classified as irresponsible behavior of a few problem bikers, but Frankenstein was already walking. And then he says, the CEO of Harley Davidson said in his address, we, not just the motor company, not just Harley Davidson dealers, just a handful of riders, we all, every hog loving one of us, must do everything we can to protect our sport and keep it as strong as it is today. But what they don't tell you is Harley is still selling straight pipes. They don't advertise them much anymore, but you walk in any dealer, they're hanging on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
There's four or five different sets that you can get, slash cuts, shotguns.
Still want to know is, with all this outrage, where are the Vance and Hines? Where are the Thunderheaders, the Reinhardts? Where are these manufacturers in this whole thing?
Yeah, exactly, because the only one that I know of that has anything close is Bub, yes.
Right. They're the only ones that have even made a chirp. The rest of them have been hiding under a rock. You know, that whole industry is going to go by the by and become a dinosaur unless these people speak up. I mean, I'd like to see some demographics of how many people are employed in that industry and how it would affect them. But where are these people? Where are their allies? Have they spoken to us? Have they reached out? No. Why,
everybody,
I wonder. It makes me wonder why.
Everybody thought Arnold was going to veto the bill because he rides in that picture, sitting on his Indian. He's got straight pipes on that Indian.
Yeah, but, you know, that's them and us. You know what I mean? And because he's the gov, he can do pretty much whatever he wants, and everybody's going to smile and go, yes, gov.
Well,
you know, and
I
you
mean,
and I go down the street with our pipes, and we're going to get pulled over and get a ticket.
Yeah. Well, he goes on to say that we must take our turn as more than a century worth of Harley riders that as before us in guarding our sport. No one expects everyone to change out their straight pipes overnight, but we all must consider changing out our thinking. We need to think about the consequences of our actions, have others before us take action against us. That was 2006, the first year in 13 that U.S. motorcycles had declined. So his address also coincided with a very public Harley announcement ceasing sale and distribution of straight pipes sold by a substandard.
That's a correlation. That's a stretch. The market share went down because the economy went into the toilet and people's priorities changed and they didn't have the money for the toys. So if they had an older bike, they sat on it. If they were going to buy a new bike, they certainly didn't have 20 grand to fork out on a new Harley.
Right. And then it goes on to tell you, like I said, you can walk into any dealer and get them off the wall.
Yeah.
Put them on your bike for you, even though they know that they're not going to be legal in most of the 50 states. So in June, this guy walked into the Harley dealer in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say the name of it because I don't want anybody
right.
to give me abusive phone calls. But he went in and he seen him hanging on the wall. He found out that they were supposedly discontinued, the Screaming Eagle 2-pipes, but there they were hanging on the wall. So he walked over to the service counter and asked if they could, if he could buy those pipes and would they install them on his bike.
Mm-hmm.
The guy behind the counter responded, "Absolutely, sure, we can do that for you." So now, to respond to the inquiry, Harley Davidson has not distributed Screaming Eagle 2 exhaust systems since 2006. We now sell only the EPA compliant parts for fleet use on motorcycles, while our dealers are independently owned businesses and therefore
They're passing the onus of responsibility onto the owners of the dealerships.
Right.
They're washing their hands. They're throwing them under the bus.
But it all goes back to the manufacturer. They can get now. Here's where the gray area turns crystal clear. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like the helmets. It's not the dot that certifies the helmets. It's the manufacturer.
Right.
It's not the guy selling the pipe that says it's legal. It's the manufacturer.
And you and I both know, out of all the helmets manufactured, less than 7% are ever tested a year.
That's
and
right.
So the manufacturers could slap a DOT sticker on anything.
That's right. So now he goes on to say, the dealer told him, "We strongly encourage them to sell only compliant components for street-use motorcycles. We also communicate regularly with dealers and riders to raise awareness for how excessive motorcycle noise affects others." That is Harley's official response to questions about how an official Harley Davidson dealership would be selling and installing excessively loud Screaming Eagle pipes 4 years after it was supposedly discontinued.
Hmm.
You can still get them. You can still order them.
Of course
them from Harley.
You can.
Because if they came, if you bought your bike and they were on your bike,
mm-hmm.
the way you bought your bike, they have to keep stock.
Right.
And then it's going to go into the gray area, because if you go to court with a ticket and you just show them that the pipes are on the bike and the dealer certified it as legal and everything else,
mm-hmm.
you're done. You're done, because the dealer is going off the manufacturer. And they said that the new versions of Harley Davidson Screaming Eagle pipes have been quieted down. So has its marketing campaign. Gone are the days of Make Some Noise t-shirts. The product copy for the new Screaming Eagle slip-ons replaces loud with factory-tuned. Let's just change the wording. When it says factory-tuned, you deliver an aggressive exhaust note and improved performance comparable to Screaming Eagle 2 mufflers.
Mm.
So now they're coming out with a new shirt that says Make Some Aggressive Exhaust Notes.
Make some what?
Aggressive exhaust notes.
Hmm.
Here we're going to get into the AMA with California. Also claiming to be locked in a battle against loud pipes is the American Motorcycle Association, the group that opposed California's new noise law. The AMA's position on that issue is that few other factors contribute more to misunderstanding and prejudice against the motorcycling community than the excessively loud motorcycles. All motorcycles are manufactured to meet federally mandated sound control standards. Unfortunately, a small number of riders who install unmuffled aftermarket exhaust systems perpetuate a public myth that all motorcycles are loud.
Mm-hmm.
So the AMA, this is where they jumped on their bandwagon. They say they have vigorously fought laws that intend to curb motorcycle noise, especially when it's known as the label match, like ordinances in California, which require bikes to have the EPA stickers on their exhaust, proving they conform to federally set noise levels. I don't know about you, but I know if I looked underneath mine, that's the only place you can see it. There's no way those guys are going to be able to. If you're tooling down the freeway at 80 miles an hour and you just did 100 miles and you got pulled over at 101 miles, there's no way that guy's going to go over there and lay down on a freeway in traffic.
We know that. We went into a dealership and inspected something like 76 models on the floor, And we were only able to see two of the EPA. The rest of them were all hidden by equipment or the way they were manufactured. You'd have to, like, dismantle the bike and remove parts to see it, or you'd have to get on the ground and become a contortionist. And, you know, who the heck's going to do that, like you said, when the pipes are, you know, hot?
Right. Now it goes in, here's where it goes into that. I don't know if you remember when I told you about that J2825 standard.
Vaguely, go ahead.
Okay. It says in California, which require bikes to have the EPA stickers on their exhaust, proving they conform federally set noise levels. The AMA fights such ordinance on the basis that the laws miss the mark by singling out motorcyclists with ordinances and laws that are unfair, impractical, and unenforceable. The AMA instead supports the J2825 standard, which is a stationary test requiring law enforcement to use very specific sound meters that requires constant calibration and special training for the users.
Right.
The meter is also not free, nor is the training, and it would be the individual departments to buy and equip their officers. They'll never do it. They don't have the money.
And the training, it costs them money to train these guys, and you have to have a perfect environment. I mean, there's a lot of specifics. You just can't pull somebody over the side of the road with traffic going by and do a decibel test. I mean, you have to have so much square feet of no interference and whatnot. I mean, it has to be done like in a quiet parking lot, and you have to be so many feet away. So, you know, there's a lot of variables that come into play here. And if anybody did get stopped, and even if they did get decibel tested, you know, if they know the ins and outs of all those factors, they could probably get it beat in court.
Well, yeah, I have a source for that. In, it's Mr. Del Sano out of San Diego. Him and his wife went on to do the sound test at their abate meeting on the first Sunday of every month.
Mm-hmm.
But,
we did that. The MMA did that here, too. They had voluntary testing every week during August, and riders were encouraged. The police conducted the tests along with the MMA, and it was done in a parking lot. There was no penalty to anybody. You could just go in and do it. If you failed, you failed, and you got something that said you didn't pass. And so that, you know, you could ride off and go have the opportunity to go fix it or whatever.
Because they took your picture, your number, what make and model bike you had, what pipe was on it when you failed the test. It's going to get down to being just like they plug in your driver's license number and it tells you who you are. So plug in your plate number and it's going to pop up that you don't have a compliant pipe. You watch. That'll be the next one.
Oh, that's going to be scary.
Because right now, okay, this is the feds push helmet laws and motorcycle-only roadblocks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to jump to a different thing.
They're
but
fighting that, though. Congress is trying to get them to back off on that, though, even with all these grants that they're getting.
Right. But here's where we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of that one. Now mirrored in other states, motorcycle-only safety checkpoints were initiated. They started up in New York.
Right. I remember that.
They were set up outside large motorcycle rallies and early large biker gathering spots to check out not only license, registration, insurance, but also for any DOT-compliant helmets and legal exhaust systems.
Mm-hmm.
State of New York is working with New York AIM, well, they fucked up right there, on legal actions to halt those discriminatory roadblocks in the Empire State. But police forces across the country may soon receive public funds, there we go with the grants again,
mm-hmm.
along with several colleagues in Congress who have written to Transportation Secretary Roy LaHood asking him to suspend funding of the federal grants for the NHTSA checkpoint program.
Why don't they take some of that goddamn money and educate drivers that motorcycles are motor vehicles and have the right to share the road and teach them how to look for motorcycles and how to interact with them. And then you would watch the accident and fatality rate go way, way down. That would save more money.
Well,
then,
basically, too,
you know, targeting people for pipes and helmets and handlebars and all kinds of crazy crap.
Well, basically, what they told the Senate committee was on commerce, science, and transportation that the most important step we could take would be to assure that all riders wear a DOT-compliant helmet.
That's baloney. You know, it all goes back to, first of all, the helmets are not tested to be safe. They're only tested at speeds of 13.7. Oh, I'm sorry, Snell. Oops! Snell does 15 miles per hour. Only 7% of them are tested. There's
right.
Nobody watching these manufacturers. That most of them are on foreign shores, so that, God forbid, any liability lawsuits come against them, they can't be sued. Where else in society have we ever seen a piece of non-proven safety equipment be mandated, be worn by people
right.
used? It's
well,
so ludicrous.
They're actively trying to work with Congress. To promote helmet use for that national helmet law.
I know. They're pushing that national helmet law again. They do that every year.
Yeah, it's House Resolution Bill 1498, and it says supports the efforts to retain the ban on National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's ability to lobby state legislators using federal tax dollars and interest.
Right. Well, that was it. They were trying to withhold federal funds from states who had choice or no helmet laws. They were trying
right.
to use that as a carrot, you know. Well, we're not going to give you any federal funds unless you repeal, put in a helmet law.
Right.
That's what they were trying to do.
Well, they're still trying to write to oppose the federally funded motorcycle-only safety checks.
Mm-hmm.
It's one more piece of evidence of the constant profiling. We get profiled every day.
Absolutely. We get profiled more than any other segment of society.
Yeah, because right now we only have 20 days till the election. So I'm urging everybody, as per John DelSantis, to vote like a motorcyclist.
Mm-hmm.
The elections are on November 2nd, and some of the most important in many years for the future of motorcycling.
Absolutely. Know the candidates. Find out who's motorcycle-friendly. And vote for them. You know, just
right.
don't
we
go
have,
in and check somebody off because you saw their name or you got a postcard in the mail or something. I mean, we've got to fight for our rights more so now than ever because the whole country is upside down. And if you don't like the way things are going now, then vote to change it. But the key word is vote.
Right, because if you have according to the AMA's thing, if you have any questions involved in the last 20 days, you can contact the AMA's grassroots team, and it's at grassroots@amacycle.org. I'll put that up in the
chat.
Oh, do
they have a list of candidates and whatnot?
Yeah, they'll steer you in the right direction for whatever state you're in.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. But it's like I said, it's 20 days, and if you don't do nothing, you're on your own.
Yeah. Then you haven't got a right to bitch, moan, or complain when, you know, they take away more rights. You know, motorcycles are now banned in Yemen. There's a lot of places in Asia you can't even ride a motorcycle because of congestion and this and that and pollution and whatnot. And how long will it be before that happens here, and like Bill said, how long will it be before they outlaw combustion engines and we all have to ride electric motorcycles? I mean, the motorcycle as we know it today may be a dinosaur in another 25 years.
Well, here's another one. Now they're going after something else here that really pisses me off, too. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In Washington State, Our poker runs an endangered species.
Saw that today, yeah.
In Washington and throughout the Northwest, we eagerly look forward to see the second Saturday in September when the number one poker run of the entire season takes place. And it's over the past 5 years, it's been the run with the Wolves. And they raised almost $40,000 each year in a great one-day run that benefited nationally known and locally operated educational programs and sanctuaries. This year, the run was canceled, not by the organizers, Quick Throttle, nor the charity benefit, Wolf Haven, nor its many committed and dedicated sponsors. It was canceled by the Washington State Gaming Commission after one person filed an official complaint pointing out that poker runs are gambling and unpermitted gambling is illegal.
Wow.
That's right. Raffles and 50s.
I read that. I wanted to throw up. You know, I have to tell you, we had a similar thing happen here in Massachusetts back in 2004. We used to, and it wasn't even a poker run. It was just a large run. We had thousands upon thousands of motorcyclists. We raised $65,000 for muscular dystrophy. And what happened? No, I'm sorry. It was Ronald McDonald, the Ronald McDonald House. And what happened was some daughter of some congresswoman or selectman or something from some hoity-toity town, I don't even remember right now, complained that she was stuck in traffic and she was inconvenienced, and complained to the state police and the governor and this and that. And next thing you know, the next year, the ride was gone.
This one's gone, too.
Yeah. And
it's history now. Because
it's sad
what happened was,
because, you know, people stopped doing the large rides and started doing poker runs so that they wouldn't have so much congestion on the roadway.
Right.
Now the poker runs are going to be a thing of the past. What are we going to do next? That's it.
Yeah. In Arizona, same thing. Arizona said they weren't out to stop the poker runs for illegal gambling, but they recognized the benefit to local charities. They clarified the rules to make sure that we knew the law so we can enjoy ourselves and still raise a buck or two for someone. Here's the gist of it. You cannot charge for a poker run. You cannot legally receive monies from anyone for the opportunity to win cash and or prize. The poker run has to be free, period. You cannot specify donations with an amount. If you specify a donation for entry to your poker run, you cannot specify any amount along with it. You cannot charge for entry to your event. You cannot charge an entry fee that will include food, entertainment. In a nutshell, it would be best not to call your run a poker run. Give your event.
I was just going to say, so you just name it something else. You just call it a charity event.
Well, here you go. Okay, they jumped on that one too because they're thinking in the box. Run is free. There are no exceptions to these rules, even for the 501 tax exempt organization. Calling it a poker run and charging for entry, it is gambling. Even if they even jumped on a 50-50.
So wait a minute. So here's the thought. Can't they get a gambling permit or a gaming permit from the state? Maybe that's all this is about, is getting the proper permits and having them pay for the permits. I've seen that stuff happen before, too. Somebody should do a little investigating and see if that would clear the whole situation. Because if you can go to the Gaming Commission and say you want a permit to run a gambling thing for a day or whatever and outline the event, I mean, you might be able to get it done that way. Just a thought.
Yeah, because right now, you know, it could happen just because it's happening here or there. It can happen here tomorrow, just like Bill and I tell you.
Exactly.
What happens in New York can happen in California the next day.
Right.
A month from.
Yeah.
You know, because there's two examples how our ride organizers having to adjust their rides and events to accommodate laws. You know, if you have a 501 tax exempt organization and have been such for at least 5 years prior to the event, you can run a 50-50 or a raffle legally. Other than that, you cannot legally conduct a raffle or a 50-50. You can have someone from that charitable 501 organization run a 50-50 for you provided they meet the requirements.
Well, it looks like people are going to have to get creative if they want to keep going doing these events, or they have to find ways around. I'm sure some good motorcycling lawyer will find a loophole or, you know, find a way to who to approach to get a permit or whatever. I know on the event that I just ran a couple of weeks ago, the police chief asked me, you know, are you planning on running, you know, a big raffle? And I said, no, we're going to do a 50-50 and a couple of gift certificates. He says, okay, I'll waive the permit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not. It's getting crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's another one now. You know, here's something good news. Okay.
We need some good news, Phil.
Okay, this is in your neck of the woods. According to Consumer Affairs.
Yeah.
The state of Massachusetts has reached a settlement with 5 more auto insurance companies over allegations they overcharged tens of thousands.
Yep.
Of Massachusetts residents or motorcycle insurance. Go for it.
Yeah, we had talked about that way back when it first came to light.
Mm-hmm.
And the refunds, a lot of the companies are sending them out now as we speak. I've heard of people getting anywhere from $35 to $3,500 back.
Right. Some of them, but the average was anywhere from $1,500, and in most of the average refunds under the settlements, they said, are around $320.
Right, that's the average. But and the other thing we were able to do is Paul Cote and I went to the Attorney General's office because the way the refunds had been set up, is the funds are supposed to go back to the Attorney General if they aren't returned to the policyholders. So we went to see if there was any way that those funds, instead of going to her general fund, could be earmarked for motorcyclists, whereas the money was motorcyclists. And they've been taking it under advisement, and we've been apprised that they're going to work with us. We don't know to what degree yet, and it isn't going to happen until, I mean, all the funds aren't even going to be available or go back to the AG's office until 2013, but at least, you know, that's some kind of something that hopefully we can look for adding to our motorcycle safety fund usage, you know, which will be cool.
Right.
So that is good news.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
now, I did see, speaking of some kind of bad news, in your neck of the wood, there was a police officer who was had ties to the Vagos or something, and he was let go.
Yeah, you're talking about the guy in Corona?
I believe so.
The police lieutenant.
Yeah, he had some ties to the Vagos, and
Vagos.
So they dismissed him.
Yeah, Vagos.
Vagos, I'm sorry, I'm East Coast. What do I know?
I know. I just don't want to get a phone call telling me it's Vagos.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. You know, it's my New England accent.
Guys, well, it was a police lieutenant, and he was put on administrative leave 10 months ago and was fired after refusing a $25 payment for his resignation.
Wait a minute, he was fired after what?
Well, he was put on administrative leave for 10 months while he investigated.
Oh.
And then he was fired after refusing a $25,000 payment for his resignation.
Some
was the most they could give him without first getting city council approval. So the city council said no. And they declined to say he was under investigation, but the president of Crown Town Vagos, the motorcycle club, told the newspaper he was questioned in June about his 15-year-long relationship with the lieutenant.
15-year relationship, wow.
Yep. They questioned everybody from the club, And it's, the one guy's wife was a topless dancer involved in a drunken driving case that got dismissed because the police chief in Riverside helped out this lieutenant.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Little favoritism, maybe?
Absolutely. Mm. You know, they got a bunch of people. They got, they didn't just get him.
So now they have to go back to all those cases.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right, absolutely.
And those cases may all be turned around.
They got another woman that was involved. She was an officer, and she was a resource officer working at a school. They asked her how he spends his personal time and with whom he associates. So shortly after she was questioned, she was put on administrative leave. So the snowball just rolled downhill for everybody.
Wow.
But yeah,
it's usually how it happens.
Yeah.
Hey, is Art around tonight?
Who?
Art?
Yeah, he's in there. I mean, let me bring him in.
Yeah, I wanted to say thank you to him.
Well, we're going to do one thing.
Okay.
Charlie.
Hey.
Hey, man. Hey, I just
you got me?
Charlie's doing a gig in Nashville at an establishment, and he's going to call in, and we're going to talk to him and play a tune for us live.
Awesome.
What's up, Charlie? How's it going in the house?
Hey, what are you doing, man? How you guys doing? Hey, Betsy.
Good. How are you, Charlie?
I'm doing good at a place, at Joe's place here in Green Hills, which is a little suburb of Nashville. Getting ready to do an acoustic show shortly.
Awesome. You going to play something for us live?
I'm going to try to. You're having a little bit of an audio issue. We're here at the bar right now, and I got it coming through the system, but I'm trying to stay back because, you know, we got that little bit of time delay that we're going on.
Right. If they could turn down the TVs in the background.
Yeah, those are gone. We're just hearing people.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
and then
okay.
You, yeah, it's people, and then that's you guys. I'm trying to stay away from that speaker. That's all of us.
Right.
Hey, I got a guy here. Hold on a second.
Sure.
This guy's got a 71 shovel head. He's a regular up here at Joe's, and I wanted to put him on the phone for a minute and let him meet you guys and talk for a second. Trying to pry him away from his setting. A bunch of folks, the bar's full of folks, you know how that goes. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
man, what we're doing is we're having a great time here. It's kind of a standard Thursday night gig for me and my buddy Tyler. We do a two-man acoustic show here. Probably every 2 to 3 weeks we come in and do that.
Uh-huh.
Go down that
How's
road.
The weather?
And I'm not. Weather's actually cool for the first time tonight. It's probably, I would say, very brisk.
Ooh.
Maybe not to the oceanside, folks. Or especially not to the nor'easters.
Right. What's this guy's name with the shovel?
Well, his name's Mike, but I can't seem to pry him away. He's kind of locked in with some sort of political argument all of a sudden. So I'm going, okay.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah,
let's
just start talking politics. Forget it.
Forget it, especially when liquor's involved.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those deals where they're talking about, you know, everything right now is politics and voting and all that stuff. So that's what I hear a lot going on.
Uh-huh.
You hear that going
on.
He
would fit right in on the show for sure.
Yeah. So I don't think he's going to pry away. But anyhow, what
okay.
I want to do is I guess I'll best get back up here toward the other side and maybe bring Sonia on for a minute. And I'll let
sure.
her take the phone and say hi to everybody. And I just wanted to call in and say hi from Nashville and from Joe's place, which is a biker-friendly bar. But the bikes aren't out tonight. It's a little cool for these guys. So I'm going to pass this over to Sonia. I got to take a second to cut through the speaker system, and we'll go on
sure.
from there. Hold on.
Okay.
Step outside to the Joe's.
Hello.
Whoa. Hi, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you, honey?
Good. This is Sonia.
Hi, Sonia. This is Betsy.
Hey, Betsy. Listen to you guys on the phone. What?
I said you know who I am.
Oh, yeah. I know who you are.
Everybody knows Phil.
So did you put the...
I think they're getting ready to play a song. Did you guys want to stay on and listen to something, or did you?
Sure, Charlie,
you go,
was gonna, Charlie was going to tune up one and see if we could hear it pretty good.
Okay. Hey, we have one of the waitresses here. She's going to say hi to you guys. Hello.
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 Welcome to Nashville.
Oh, welcome to Boston.
Awesome. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
California and Boston. We got both coasts covered.
Oh, yeah.
Are we having a good Thursday night?
What's the big deal?
What's the big deal? Our band is a big deal tonight. And we got $2 beers and lots of people hanging out, starting to take shots. It's about to get rowdy.
Yeah, they're already talking politics.
It sounds like y'all are having fun, though.
We're trying.
You're trying. Awesome. Yeah, our goal as servers here is to, you know, pass out shots, not get people over the limit drunk because that's illegal, but, you know, make them have fun.
We heard they're already talking politics.
Oh, yeah. Politics is a big topic of discussion in the South, unfortunately.
Oh,
we don't think we can do everything
here in
better.
The Northeast as well, honey.
All over. Now it's all over. It's a hot button issue.
Well, you know,
that's
so
what we were
politics.
Pretty much talking about.
Which part of politics are you guys talking about?
Motorcycling politics.
Oh. Well, there's a lot to be said for politics right now and how much we don't like them.
Right.
Basically, what we were talking about was the way that
we get profiled for helmets, exhaust, anything really.
How do you get profiled for what? Exhaust?
Exhaust, helmets, anything really.
What you're wearing, your handlebars, the way you look.
Just because you're a biker, you're getting profiled. That's kind of dumb. It's kind of like being black and being profiled.
Yeah.
Except you guys just are getting profiled for your bikes.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the fact that we're
the last cowboys.
If only the rest of the country could grow up and stop acting like children.
This is true.
Unfortunately, the world isn't as quick as most people. Really, it's half of the people, because I don't think half of the people are that quick.
No. You got that right.
So those guys get ready to play?
They just started, so they're already on stage and they're jamming out.
Cool.
Very, very cool.
I can
handle
them now.
Well, I'm going to go serve some drinks and go hang out, but I'm going to give you back to the pretty little lady. And
thank you.
It was a pleasure talking to you guys. Maybe I'll get to talk to you again.
Okay. Have a
good
one.
Thank you. Let's see if you guys can hear them. Can you hear them?
Yeah.
Where?
We're getting a little feedback from the acoustics, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love this song. Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Well,
it was in and out anyway, but what I heard was good.
That's pretty good. Art, are you there, Art?
Yeah, I'm here.
Art.
Hey, Art.
Yeah, I'm
how
here.
Are you, honey?
Doing good, Betsy. Doing good.
I want to thank you. I received something in the mail today from you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're a sweetheart.
Did it come with batteries?
You must have omitted the batteries. No, I got those articles that you said you were going to send me.
Okay, good, good.
So now I have your address, so now I guess I have to put you on my Christmas card list.
Well, I have yours too then. Come to think
I
of
know
it.
You do.
Uh-oh.
Thank you, though. That was very sweet of you.
Oh, you're most welcome. It's something to be proud of.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Congrats.
Thanks.
So, hey, Art, what did you've been listening since the beginning. You got any comments on anything?
Well, I experienced profiling this week. It was rather interesting. Yeah, I got called for jury duty.
Okay.
I can tell you how to dress to get out of
so
that.
So tell me how you were profiled. This is an interesting story, I'm sure.
Well, I went down on Tuesday because Monday's a holiday for the courts.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down and I drove my truck. So I had my jeans and sneakers on and a button-up shirt. And I was all accepted and they were all happy with me.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, they were happy till a point. But then on Tuesday, we had to go back because they were selecting who they were going to put in their jury pool.
Mm-hmm.
So I rode the scoot down, and once I got in the building, I went ahead and took the vest off the jacket and threw the vest on and carried the jacket and went up there. And while I was standing up there with my little juror's badge on, every law enforcement officer that came by was giving me the stink eye, I swear to God.
Wow.
I was just standing there, and it's like the day before, they were all happy with me.
Right.
But the day I showed up wearing a leather jacket and standing there, and I was wearing my bad T-shirt, you know, and I was talking to one guy, and he goes, well, you know, you see this big, hairy guy wearing a vest and looks, you know, he's got his helmet with him. You can figure he's a biker or something, you know, wearing this flaming skull shirt. And I was like, did you guys even look at the shirt? And he's like, well, no. I said, it's bikers are against discrimination. He goes,
right.
Oh, I didn't even notice. I was like, and there's a big thing in there, the scales of justice, you know. I was
right.
Come on, guys, pay attention. But nobody was really interested.
It
and
is,
because
I
got
to tell Bill, man, it's got to be the white hair and the beard.
Well, I got the white hair, I just ain't got, or the white beard, I ain't got the white hair.
Yeah.
So, but when I went in there, they were talking, they're prosecuting a girl for being in possession of 28 grams of marijuana. And the governor just signed the paperwork to make it an infraction, a traffic ticket, to be in possession of marijuana.
Right.
Hmm.
So I'm thinking, why are they pushing this, you know? But they've got something going on, and it sounds like it's all circumstantial. And they said, well, in cases where, you know, the evidence is kind of iffy, you should defer to the police officer's judgment because they're trained for this.
goodness.
And I sat there for a minute, and this one lady agreed with him. And I sat there, and nobody said a thing. And there was 48 of us in there. And I sat there, and I looked, and finally, I was like, I got a problem. And I raised my hand, and she looks at me, the prosecution. And she goes, yes. And I go, what do you mean defer to the police officer's judgment? They don't even know the laws they're enforcing. They write tickets that are bogus. They stop you and violate your rights. And they do this all under the color of law, and you can't do anything about it because they're protected. If we're ignorant, we can be prosecuted. If they're ignorant, they walk down the hall happy as can be. What do you mean defer to a cop? And she just kind of looked at me, and about a few minutes later, they said, okay, you can go home.
Yeah, because they knew you were going to be a troublemaker.
But everybody else is just sitting there like, you know, okay.
Yeah,
well,
they don't know the law.
Right. Well, my fun starts.
I got cops in the family.
Yeah. My fun starts tomorrow down in San Diego at the Superior Court with three appellate judges for my oral argument.
Oh, your appeal coming up?
Yeah, one of them tomorrow.
Oh, good.
I'll be down there at 8 o'clock, all bright and smiley, and I got a good attorney going to coach me what to say and what not to say. It's going to work out pretty good. At least, even if I don't get dismissed or not guilty, I got somebody to listen. I got as far as the appellate court judges, and two of them ride. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, and call me afterwards and let me know how it went.
Sure.
Most definitely.
Absolutely. It'll be my first email to everybody tomorrow.
No doubt.
But, you know, I found out some interesting news the other day about these guys in the town. I'm not going to say the town because what I'm going to say involves their personal lives. But five of the guys that bug everybody downtown all have DUIs. They haven't been to class. They're still driving a patrol car with a license. Three guys that have, along with the DUIs, have domestic violence cases pending.
They can't carry a weapon if they have a domestic violence.
Exactly.
Case,
but they are. They are. They are. This is the blue gang protecting their own.
That's like what I said earlier about the governor when you mentioned he had straight pipes. People just smile. Yes, Gov, you know?
Unless his wife parks in a red zone, nothing. Otherwise, nothing happens. But, I was talking to the guy, and I tried to get a hold of the AIA guy, but he's pretty busy right now. So the guy asked me about all the guys filing IA complaints. It was a sergeant I happened to talk to. But we were talking about the IA complaints, and these guys are writing them up for everything. I go, well, that's their right to do that. And he goes, but it's going to go to the cry wolf syndrome. I go, if you guys think that the guy's just crying uncle or crying, then you can determine that when you talk to him and end it there. But the case, they're still filing the AA complaint. It's going to stay. The city keeps them. The department keeps them for 5 years, but the city keeps them on record forever. There's no way around it. They had a special city council meeting about this with these officers still being on. Because people found out and people started. They started
questioning.
Yeah, exactly. So they had a special council meeting last Tuesday night to figure out what they're going to do right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't have lawbreakers trying to uphold the law.
Right. Well, in this town here, we have, in the last 2 years, there's been a lot of incidents, huh, Art?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of turds rose to the top of the bowl.
Yeah.
We had one guy, he was involved in a homicide, and that disappeared so he could become a policeman. He made it all the way to sergeant. As his girlfriend was stealing from the construction company she worked for and buying him all kinds of stuff that he said they were gifts. He didn't know that it was all stolen, which was bullshit.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they found out about his gang affiliation, surprisingly.
Yeah. Yep. So they're not as clean and politically correct as they betray or portray.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I'm gonna take a break for a minute. You guys listen to Bill's favorite song. I'll be back in a couple minutes. So if you wanna hold on, I'll be right back. On the 30th up in Long Beach and a couple other places. RJ should give us a ring here a little bit to update on that. But there was one thing I wanted to bring up with you, Betsy, and Art.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see that the 10NR28, the Motorcycle Riders Foundation news release?
Mm-hmm.
About the highway safety facts?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out how they figured that 1,483 motorcycles' lives were saved by helmet use.
That's baloney. I wish someone would come to me and just look at my biker bits every day and read the accidents and see how many riders are dying with helmets on, how many get them knocked off, et cetera, and use those stats in with whatever false statistics they've thought up or wherever they get their information from, because from
right.
what I see every day, no way.
Well, the last couple of lines, it says they employ technology to save lives. I don't know if you guys saw that video where they had the camera mounted on the bike, and there was a car going to pull out in front of the guy, so he drives out into the middle of the road and gets hit by a panel
yeah.
van.
Yeah. Because he didn't even look in the other direction. I mean, hello?
Yeah. Because the camera was going to censor the bike to slow down, hit the brakes or whatever.
Right. But it didn't censor that the vehicle was coming and going to side T-bone him.
Right. Then the other article that came out after that said that the truck was in the guy's blind spot. Yeah.
He didn't even look in that direction. He just pulled out.
Right.
He thought it
was a
controlled environment.
No, well, what I mean by blind spot was that he didn't turn his head. It wasn't his peripheral vision seeing it coming. They had a news reporter there, and she's talking to him, and she's giving him all the data and stats on what the bike, what's going to happen when the guy goes to the intersection and the car's going to pull out.
Right, and what the equipment's going to do and how the bike's going to react and let him know that he needs to slow down and all of this stuff. I mean, it was
right, and then the next thing you know, he pulls out in front of the truck and gets clobbered.
Right.
Yeah.
With a helmet on, by the way.
Yeah, with a helmet
on. Yeah, that's
on.
A professional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, it's like I really don't know what, you know, these people are thinking when they come up with that stuff.
Well, they're thinking of controlling, and so they fudge the statistics to give them the results that they want.
Right. Because, you know,
it's
just like when I had my accident, the doctor told me in the emergency room when I came to that if I was wearing a full face, I wouldn't have, they'd have had a sheet over my head.
Yeah, it would have broken your neck.
Right.
Yeah, but you see, those statistics are to control the media, to control the population, to...
I've seen somewhere where they called it junk science.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. I mean, you and I could put together a study and put out these numbers. I mean, I would love to see the numbers. I would like to see the actuary's paperwork. You know, where did they get these numbers from?
Right, because basically, you know, there's 27 states that require helmet use. You know, and then there's, you know, like in Alabama, all riders must wear a helmet. In Florida, riders 20 and younger must wear a helmet. Riders 21 and older can ride without a helmet if they can prove they are covered by medical insurance.
Yeah, and in Massachusetts, everybody wears a helmet.
Right.
Same
and then
in
Georgia,
York.
All riders must wear a helmet. It just goes on and on. Florida, same thing. Florida, riders 20 and younger must wear a helmet. Riders 21 and older, they got to prove they have medical insurance. And then it goes in, you know, it goes into a thing about there's a guy down in Florida who's a police officer. He bought a used motorcycle last week, but he hadn't ridden it before they purchased it. They had to buy a helmet first that was legally tagged. I don't know how they can say it was legally tagged. This is probably a guy, he's a police officer. He's probably helmeted, ticketed people for helmets. You know,
tagged it? Who tested it? You know, who?
Right. I mean, it goes on. We're talking Florida, Tallahassee. We're talking Jackson County. You know, Mariana couple. They were seriously injured because they bought new helmets. I don't know how new helmets got them injured.
Well, if it's legally tagged.
Accident last week where the rider was killed and the helmet was from the impact was knocked right off his head.
Right.
Oh, but excuse me, he died of internal injuries, which wouldn't have had anything to do with his head anyway.
Right. You know, it's just like when you go from state to state. If you're not familiar with the laws, they're going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they look at your plate, see you're from out of state, and you're not wearing a helmet. All it is about money.
Absolutely.
You know, it's the same thing with guys. You know, you're wearing a novelty helmet. You cross over the line. You know, and it's anywhere from $90 to $700. For the fine.
Yep, and they know you're not, because you're from out of state, you're going to pay it because it's too much aggravation for you to come back to fight it.
Right.
And then again, there's reciprocity between certain states, and depending on where you live, it could show up on your license back home and end up being a surcharge and increase your insurance premium.
Right. As well as the bill collector calling you at work to tell you you got to pay for it.
Oh, right. And in some states, we have a situation here where if you get a ticket in another state and it remains unpaid, they can suspend your license here in Massachusetts.
Right. I got another caller I'm going to bring in. Hello, Jan.
Yeah, hey, Phil.
How are you?
Good. Hey, Betsy, and who else is on the phone?
Hey, how are you, girlfriend?
Jan out of North Carolina.
Oops. Long time no see.
Oh, Jan.
Yeah. Who else? Okay, so we got Betsy, we got
it's
Phil,
just
we got
Art and Phil, honey.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey, I wanted to let you know. A few years ago, Doc and I wanted to hold a statewide, season-long poker run. I mean, this thing was going to go from, like, April till October.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. We were going to collect, like, tens of thousands of dollars for the Victory Junction Gang Camp.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
The Victory what?
Yeah, the NASCAR. NASCAR, right?
Oh, okay.
Right, right. Right, yeah. The Petties. Yeah, Kyle and Patty Petty. Have this Victory Junction Gang Camp, and what it is it's really cool because kids who are like they've been pronounced that they've got a fatal disease get to go to the camp and they get to live like regular kids with
right.
regular kids.
Oh,
and
kind of like
I've seen that on the History Channel.
Yeah, it's really a great cause. Okay, so Doc and I were going to have a season-long poker run across the state, and we figured out how to do it. And, you know, it was going to be good because and it was going to be great for the economy, too,
mm-hmm.
because people would you get more points the more pit stops you go to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to pick up another card, so to speak, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to have 52 locations all across the state.
Wow.
Okay, so we estimated it was going to raise a lot of money and it was going to be great for tourism. So everything seems wonderful, right? So here we are in the last stages of getting this thing all organized, and we're going around, and we're meeting some bar owners and asking them if they would like to participate. We had like Hooters. Hooters
mm-hmm.
had contributed and everything else, right?
Yeah.
And so it was going to be a wonderful thing. You know, the Victory Junction Gang Camp was all excited and everything else. So here we are in a bar one day, and somebody comes by, and they've they've been stocking the bar with Budweiser, and they said, you can't do that. It's illegal. I go, what? What do you mean it's illegal? Yeah, you know, you have to get in touch with the ALE. That's our alcohol and beverage law enforcement
and commission,
people, right?
Yeah.
And so I called the ALE. They, of course, didn't know anything about it. They didn't know what a poker run was. But then I finally got in touch with one of the lawyers for the ALE, and they clarified what they would do, right?
Mm-hmm.
They said that if there's one complaint, if there's just one complaint about anybody that's in the poker run, then we have to investigate it. They don't have a choice. Okay, that's their job. If there's
mm-hmm.
one complaint, they have to investigate it. And so I said, this is unreal, because we've got fire departments and police departments all over the state constantly advertising their poker runs. So I found out that the guy from the lawyer from the ALE suggested that what they do, how they get around it, is they contact the county district attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And they get agreements to not prosecute.
Ah.
So you're going to be breaking the law, and they know it, but the DA has an agreement with you to not prosecute. So I called up Colin Willoughby from Wake County. He's the district attorney. You know, and it's a political job, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I asked, hey, could I get an agreement, a no prosecute agreement from you? And he said, yeah, I have no problem with that. You know, give me the dates and where are you going to be? And I said, we're going to be all over the state, and it's going to be the entire season long. And he goes, well, tell you what, in terms of Wake County, no problem. You've got an agreement from me. And I go, can you put it in writing? He goes, no, I can't put it in writing. I ask, why not? He says, well, because it's a political job.
Yeah, that would be favoritism, and they could hold that against him and oust him.
Yeah. If the voters ever found out about these no prosecute agreements, I wouldn't get reelected. Isn't that something? So
and then, but wait a minute, Jan. Now you've got the rest of the counties that you got to deal with too, not just that one DA, because you're all over the state. You're going to get the same stuff from every one of them.
Yeah, so I called up the Attorney General for the state.
Yeah.
Of course, you know I'm not going to let this slide, right? You know
right.
I'm
going to. No, I know you won't.
So I call up the state attorney general. Of course, what's a poker run? Did you call the ALE? Yeah, I called the ALE. Did you call the district attorney? You know, I mean, you have to, it takes you like a half hour to get these people up to speed, and then they'll let you talk to their boss.
Mm-hmm.
And so it went on and on and on like that. I got a few district attorneys to agree, but I mean, this was going to be all over the state, and we've got 100 counties. It would have taken me all season long just to get these no prosecute agreements.
Right.
So I get a hold of my my state senator and my state representative. I'm asking my state representative,
well,
hey, what is it? You know, you've got this law on the books that is preventing me from having this event. It's a great event. I told her all about it. She goes, geez, that sounds like a great event. Yeah, I've heard of Victory Junction Gang Kids. That sounds like a wonderful event. I'll make a few phone calls and see if I can do anything about it. And, of course, that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you got lip
service,
you mean?
No, well, Philip, you know I'm not going to let it go at that.
God, I love you, Jan.
So you know what I did? I ran for state senator.
I remember that.
I don't just give up on these things.
God,
like
I love
a
you.
Well, you know, I got one you can work on.
Yeah?
Since Arnold made it legal out here in California to have marijuana. Now
oh,
you know what to,
I'll be right out.
Now you know what to spearhead in North Carolina.
Oh, I know. I've already been doing that.
How far are you getting?
I just need to get in communication with, you know, the normal people out here.
Normal people?
Describe what a normal person is, please.
Yeah, we need some normal people to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Normal. NORML. National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws.
There you
gotcha.
Go.
Yeah.
I knew you had it.
Yeah. No, I've been talking about to the reps and everything else about the medical marijuana, trying to get that passed first.
Right.
You know, it'll be a stepping stone to the next.
Right.
I think we'll be like, oh, we're probably about 50 years away from getting anything like that passed. And meanwhile, they won't care unless the governor has a child that's going to die.
You want to put that in the
corner? No, that's just like right now with the biker community. Nobody cares until it happens to them.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, Tuesday, I have to apologize. I told you I was going to be there, but I ended up talking to a sergeant downtown, as well as I watched the Sons of Anarchy 3 hours earlier.
Oh, yeah. No, you know, SOA's on about midnight.
No,
they repeat
about
it like 3 times.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm getting ready to get up to go to work, so I watch it
earlier.
Plus, I had to go down and talk to this guy because he gave me a courtesy call, and I went down and talked to him about diet complaints and a few other things.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Jesse Ventura returning to the air tomorrow night at 10 o'clock so I can see what he has to say about Plum Island.
Well, yeah, but also the topic for that is first one I heard already. Is they're going to be screening the calls because people want to know what MC he belonged to.
Among all.
Oh, God.
They could hear it here first. He was third in command in California. But, you know, the way he said it was like, you don't know if it meant Mongols of California, you know, for the statewide, or just the local chapter, you know. But he says he was third in command, and at the time he was a SEAL.
Right.
And he'd get out of work, and he'd put the vest on.
It was down here in San Diego.
Yeah, and they did a good job of.
They did their research.
Yeah. But that was before Mongols was catching a lot of shit. I mean, that was like 20, 30 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
I hate to talk about any 1% to clubs, you know. I just don't like to do that. But you know, this is kind of like already in the news, and I just don't.
Right.
You know.
Well, I know. I'll get a phone call tomorrow wanting to know what I was talking about, but that's another story.
Yeah, right. I never promote one over another.
No, and I don't either. And the problem with that is that they all know they have equal time.
Yeah.
They all know
right.
I'll give them equal time.
Exactly. Yeah, and you don't get into any argumentative stuff between anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But now to Jesse, I'm wondering, you know, has it been like years since Jesse's ridden? You know?
Yeah.
I'm wondering about that. And I'm going to have to look into He was what state? Minnesota, right?
Yeah, the governor.
Right.
Yeah. He was the governor of Minnesota, and so and they have good helmet laws there, right? They don't have helmet laws, do they? I mean, it's probably like some age discrimination kind of thing, right?
I think it is age discrimination one.
Yeah.
I think it's 21 and under.
Yeah. Hey, how goes the battle out in San Diego?
I have my first oral argument tomorrow at 8:00 in the morning in San Diego Superior Court with 3 appellate court judges, who two of them happened to ride.
Okay, but did you file legal brief or something?
Everything. This is one of the ones from last year. There's actually two. And then there's.
Do you have an attorney assisting you?
Yes.
Good.
In fact, I'll talk to him after. I'm going to talk to him after the show.
Good.
If all else fails, at least I got somebody to listen.
Well, does your lawyer understand the difference?
Yes, he does.
The different methods.
I did a David. Yes, he does.
So has he talked to either Red or Mark or Don? Don would be great, of course.
Well, I talked to him and I put a call in to Red and I haven't gotten a response back yet. I called him. Mark's been busy with school and he did that Idaho. I really didn't have time to catch up with him.
Yeah.
But no, this guy's pretty sharp.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, I sent in a.
Good. Not to say that you wouldn't. You would give him plenty of good information also, you know.
But Mark had written 48 questions for me that the guy told me he didn't have to fill out. He found out he had to do it.
Yeah.
It was 7.5 hours with the city attorney at $3.50 an hour.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did you also, are you also trying to push for... no court costs should be levied on you?
Let me tell you exactly what this guy told me when I asked him what's it going to cost me, and he said, don't worry about it, they're going to pay us.
I like that attitude.
Red gave me a copy of the San Diego one, and I gave him that to read. And he dissected it for 3 days. So a lot of the stuff that he's going to use and coach me on came out of that lawsuit that they won.
Yeah. So you're going to give a presentation tomorrow, or you're going to be asked some questions tomorrow, but you won't find out for a while, will you? I mean, because this is a regular
they have to take it under advisement and whatnot, right?
Right, but... I'll get the feeling and I'll get paperwork that when I go to court on the 27th should help me out with that one. Either way, a precedent's going to be set.
Is it a different case on the 27th?
No, that's the one where I got handcuffed and they ripped it off my head, turned off my recorder.
So what else are you going to get them for? Deprivation of rights under color of law? Anything good like that?
Yes.
Cool.
That's how I. If you heard me earlier, that's how I found out through the FBI.
No, I didn't. I missed. Sorry.
Okay, I found out through the FBI using USC 18. There's five officers that there's five of the 15 guys. There's five that have current DUIs that are still driving around. Three of them had domestic violence charges. They're still carrying guns.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Talk about hypocritical.
Yeah.
One of the sergeants that was the team leader got arrested, and he's getting ready to get sentenced here for receiving stolen property that he said was a gift.
Gosh. Hey, did you see what I sent out about this? San Luis Obispo? County Sheriff's Office doing that raid on that guy because
all his guns,
of guns
yes.
fired. Wasn't that
about his guns?
Yeah, you know, he sees like this M111, I guess.
Right.
And the sheriff's deputy says, "That's exactly what I want."
Yeah.
The guy still hasn't got it back.
Right. Because the way you sent it, it said sheriff's deputy steal nice collection of guns
yeah.
in San Luis Obispo County by violating his Fourth Amendment rights.
Yeah, you got it right in front of you?
Yeah.
Yeah, read that to Artie. I don't think I sent it to him.
Well, Art, the one she sent says, "Sheriff's deputy steal nice collection of guns in San Luis Obispo County by violating Fourth Amendment." There's a lot you, and of course, with words of wisdom from Jan here, there's a lot you can find by going on YouTube and searching for Fourth Amendment. Here's the one incident in San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department you'd be very embarrassed about. And it comes in three parts. So what I'll do is I'll put the parts up in the chat room. You just click on the link and you should be able to get it. I'm going to put them in there right now. But, yeah, if you want to talk a little more about what it was, go ahead, Jan.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. You know, okay, so somebody gets a the sheriff's department gets a call. Shots fired. So they're on the way there. They're getting all hyped up. They can't wait. They're gonna throw all the muscle at this guy that they possibly can and everything else. Turns out the guy's in his own yard, and he's got like 2.5 acres there. He's got some targets downrange. There's nothing else downrange. There's no houses, no nothing like that. He's got a couple targets out. And I think that, you know, he's probably not, like, in a thickly settled area or whatever. And so he's just doing some fine-tuning of some really nice rifles he's got. He's got like, 18 or 19 state-of-the-art, I mean, really beautiful sniper rifles, everything else. And so he almost got plugged. He almost got killed.
Right.
Just the way that he couldn't hear them too well. And so, you know, they didn't ask, you know, can you hear us? They don't ever do that. They just continue to bark orders, and then if the guy doesn't obey the orders, they're going to nail him. Well, he came close to getting nailed. He came real
right.
close to getting nailed. Turned out that they ended up not shooting them, even though it was close. But then they decided that they're going to do a search of his house without a warrant.
Right, right. But the thing was just that one gun, right, was the issue.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't even break any law.
Right, okay. And there was no probable cause for them to even do the search, right?
Right. So then they go into his house, and they say, "Oh, panties." I mean, assholes, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So they see a gun safe, and the gun safe is locked. It's secured. Okay. So they go back out to them, and they insist on the keys to the gun safe. He refused consent. He refused
right.
consent. They saw his keys, and they took his keys right off of him. They just destroyed his belt loop or whatever, grabbed his keys, went inside, and they saw his gun collection, and they said, "Ooh, we want these. These are nice." Yeah.
So they confiscated them.
Yeah. But the beautiful thing about this is they actually have recordings of how in the world are we going to justify this? Let's put
really?
On our thinking cap. But they've got it on tape.
They forgot they were being recorded the whole time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and they did a wonderful job on the video.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime,
I put
still,
the links up if you want to go look at it.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Jan, can you send me those in an email, though, because I'm not online?
I'll send it to you.
Oh, okay, honey, thanks.
Yeah, he's got it right there. Yeah, that shows you what's happening in our police state.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the police state is
so
all...
So did he ever get his guns back?
No.
No.
No. But he's got attorneys looking at this, and they've got all
were
the evidence.
Were the charges dismissed?
He made a deal, because if not, he was going to end up going to prison.
Right, because he had some
for
guns.
Doing
he wasn't.
Nothing.
He had some
for,
that he wasn't.
He had what?
He had some that he wasn't supposed to have.
Oh, okay.
Or something like that. But so he copped a plea to a lesser charge is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that he wouldn't go to jail. You know,
right.
He wouldn't end up in prison, because they would have thrown the book at him for like three or four different things.
Mm-hmm.
And three or four different things, even though they had it on tape that they were figuring out how they were going to get him.
I guarantee. You listen to the cops in that video. I guarantee you're going to be really upset. So do it at a time when your mind is ready for that.
So what else is going on in North Carolina? Any updates?
No. Gosh, I guess that we've probably got the Myrtle Beach Fall Rally is around this time of year, so I'm wondering what's going to happen out at Holly Ridge. I check in.
I think it already came and went.
I think it's what, the first?
Yeah, it's the first Sunday of the month.
Yeah.
I didn't see much write-up this year about it either.
Because nobody's on Main
Street.
Usually in the local papers, there's something about the rally. I mean, I didn't even see
anything. The business owners were all pissed off because nobody was coming downtown because of the bullshit. Across one side of the street is one way and one side isn't.
Yeah, Myrtle Beach Rally has turned into nothing more than a little itty-bitty bike fest nowadays. It's not worth going
that's
to.
That's a shame they ruined a good thing.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, they're going to end up paying taxes like you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but the city wealthy people don't mind, because they'd rather get in wealthier people into the city. That way,
right.
You know, they can continue to raise taxes. So they want to turn it into something like a Hilton Head. Hilton Head is kind of like it's scenic, like Santa Barbara, California is very scenic, Philip. You've been up there, right?
Hey.
Or what's that place right north of San Diego? La Jolla.
Oh yeah.
They want to turn it into something that's, you know, just for really rich people.
Oh, like Malibu or
Hamptons.
Yeah.
It's just like
I got some news today out of Australia, and this is like we're talking about. Okay, we're talking about all these things, different places trying to do this and different places trying to do that. In Australia, they're trying to get the power to smash outlaw motorcycle club houses. They want to tear them down.
Yeah, that's been going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at times it has looked like it's going to end up in a war between the cops and the bikers.
Right.
Or the bikies, as they call them.
Right.
Right. And under their laws there, if they just... In fact, there's organized criminal activity going on. They can get you to. They can get a court order to remove the cameras, the fence, whatever else you have for security.
Yeah, well, you know, I also, you know, I mean, I like the idea of going on to YouTube and just typing in Fourth Amendment and doing a search, because when you do that, you'll find that there's a video there of General Hayden, who's in charge of the CIA. He's got no idea what the Fourth Amendment says.
Right.
He thinks that as long as we're reasonable about it. And there's nothing about probable cause. He refuses to look at the Fourth Amendment and read that you need probable cause.
Right. They don't know what that word means.
Yeah.
Only when it's convenient.
Okay.
Yeah.
They use that one only when it's convenient.
Yeah. So, hey, good luck tomorrow.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You guys, you'll be on my first email list.
Yeah.
But we're winding down. I got about 6 minutes left. Anybody got a rant or anything they want to talk about? Otherwise, I'm going to take us out with an Attica 7 song by Rusty and the Boys.
We'll
be playing in Long Beach over at
a
Halloween.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Have a nice one, and good luck.
Good luck tomorrow, Phil.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it's always a pleasure.
She's gone.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And
hey,
I
Betsy?
Thank you again.
You're welcome, Betsy. How are you doing with that congestion, that
problem? Oh, I'm much better, much better.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm back
to
work.
Well, if you did what
that's
I told you,
old self.
Okay. Well, make sure to work on taking care of your breast cancer risk.
Already on it, honey. Thank you.
Okay.
You're on it right now?
Good night.
No?
Good night.
All right. Good night, guys.
All right.
night, everybody.